And it turns out that the missing link, the blueprint of posture, was the fact, or is the fact, that the brain is involved in everything that we do. It affects everything that we see as rehabilitation specialists.
Welcome to Peak 40, the podcast that brings you the tips, tactics, and stories for living your best life in midlife. If you are in your mid-30s to 50s, Peak 40 is the place to get actionable advice on the nuances of nutrition, training, recovery, and mindset in midlife. For the full experience and other valuable resources, register for the Peak 40 weekly newsletter at drbubs.com/peak40 to enhance your lifestyle and start making midlife your best life. Welcome back, or welcome to the Peak 40 podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Bubs. This is season 3, episode number 6, and today I'm excited to be talking to Annette Verpillot, a Canadian entrepreneur, therapist, public speaker, and internationally recognized posturologist. Annette is the founder of PosturePro and has developed some of the world's most advanced rehabilitation and injury prevention techniques. Her unique postural evaluation system is recognized throughout the world for eliminating chronic pain, increasing strength, and improving sports proficiency. Annette has worked with strength specialists, elite athletes, and coaches in numerous pro sports. In today's conversation, you'll be fascinated to learn how your feet and your eyes, and most importantly, the brain, play fundamental roles in your posture, eliminating pain, and improving performance. Before we get started, a quick announcement. Our Peak 40 Spring Coaching Group for 2024 is now open for enrollment until April 19th. If you're tired of feeling stuck, low energy, weight gain, struggling with high blood pressure or blood sugars, or just not feeling your best, the Peak 40 program is designed to help you build better habits in midlife when things are busier and more hectic at work and at home. Listen to 56-year-old Jeff, IT specialist's experience with the Peak 40 program.
So I had not been able to do much on the workout side, but I just started really, you know, being cognizant of watching what I eat, going back to, hey, control your mornings, watch your nights, get your water intake. And I've had some success. You know, things are starting to click for me.
Tremendous, down 30 pounds pretty much, which is fantastic.
It's like actually an update. It's at 34 right now. I think the greatest testament I can say to my dedication to getting this stuff done is I was in Vegas last week for a week for I lost a pound even being in Vegas.
There you go.
If you're ready to simplify your approach and achieve better results at last into the long run, head over to drbubs.com, click on the Coaching Peak 40 tab for more info. Or you can email Carly, C-A-R-L-Y, at drbubs.com with any questions. All right, let's get on with the show.
Annette, appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, listen, I'm really looking forward to diving into a bunch of different topics here today, but I think, you know, the best way to get started might be for you to give us a little whirlwind tour of your background here to tee things up.
Yeah, so I basically have a background in rehabilitation, and I created a company called PosturePro. And what makes us unique is that we use a powerful approach, I'd say, to help reorganize the brain. And we do so by targeting specific body parts to change the way that one relates to gravity. And ultimately, what we try to do is improve body proprioception. And by doing so, we find that we have almost an immediate effect on biomechanics, on breathing, on stress, on blood pressure, and I'm sure one of your all-time favorite, on strength and performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's certainly no shortage of ways over the years. If we go back far enough, you know, stretching, corrective exercise, obviously all the different modalities and therapy that we're trying to relieve pain, you know, improve balance at joints. You know, for yourself, with the philosophy that you have, you know, how did that come about? Can you lead us down that path?
Yeah, so for me, it was basically realizing that in my practice, it was very hard for me to sustain long-term results with my rehabilitation. And I felt very grateful and blessed to be able to help people on a daily basis. but I couldn't shake it out of my head. There was something missing. It seemed that there was a part of the puzzle that had not been taught in school. I, of course, went back to school and asked the question to my teachers, and I came to realize that they themselves did not know the answer to the questions. And it turns out that the missing link, I like to refer to it as the blueprint of posture, is the fact that the brain is involved in everything that we do. It affects everything that we see as rehabilitation specialists. And so I decided to start incorporating the brain into my practice in conjunction with what I was already doing, just to see if I can get faster and better and long-term results with my clients. And it turns out that the results were much better than I expected, to the point that from just this constant pain management to just resolving the issues in a healthy population, of course, resolving the issues in 1, 2, 3 sessions at the most. So for me, that really was a complete game changer. And I thought to myself, well, I think that we're in an era where people are looking for a global approach. They're much more open-minded to it. And I thought, well, my God, I need to start applying this with every single one, every single person that comes into the office, and see what gives. And so far, we've done studies, clinical studies with NCAA athletes, pro athletes, state police. And what we find is that when someone's posture is aligned, and it does begin with understanding and going a little bit into how the nervous system develops to begin with, when a therapist has this global approach and this global understanding, they're able to do, don't want to use the word miraculous things, but miraculous things in their practice. I mean, ongoing issues that have been going on for years melt away. Energy goes up, digestion, breathing, sleeping, stress management for children, cognition, understanding for athletes, injury prevention, performance. So, just understanding and realizing all of these things in my practice is really what has led me to start doing this full time. And the idea now is to spread the awareness, to help as many people as possible through podcasts, through videos, and through anyone who's really willing to listen to a different means of addressing these symptomatic issues.
That's tremendous. It's amazing how we've been working on the hardware, so to speak, for so many years, that to come back to the software and the brain as the thing that we need to reboot or upload a new operating system is really a truly kind of integrative and holistic way of looking at the problem. You mentioned the work in athletes. To give some context to listeners and practitioners, can you provide us, with an example or a common theme that you're seeing in these athletes, or an example from the work in those studies too?
Yeah. So one of the, for basketball, we know that in basketball, the number one injury, or one of the number one injuries, are ankle injuries. And so we did a clinical study with the 49ers, Charlotte's 49ers. And what the coaches found is that by applying our methods for an entire season, there was not one ankle injury that occurred. So this would be an example with athletes. So what we were really aiming for in that clinical study was to see if we can prevent ankle injuries throughout the entire season. One study that I did not have a chance to do with athletes, but I did do with state police, and I feel that this would apply to athletes as well, was with shooting accuracy. So we wanted, or they wanted, to determine if shooting accuracy could improve simply with posture correction. We also looked at blood pressure and grip strength, which we can talk about later if you'd like. But with shooting accuracy on 13 officers, we found that every single one of them improved their shooting accuracy. And we had snipers in there. We had younger officers and older officers, but all 13 of them had an improvement in shooting accuracy. And we actually have a visual. We went in a room called the Milo room, which really precisely from a computer, digital, it's kind of like a computer reading that puts these scenes into place where we can see the shot, completely missing the shot to in the bullseye. So I think that if you can improve shooting accuracy with a gun, certainly with a ball.
Certainly precision's cover there, isn't it?
Yeah, the we're talking about different type of precision, but I'd have a hard time seeing how that could not improve. But I've known for a long time with, I don't know if you know Charles Poliquin or knew Charles
Poliquin. I used to work at the Poliquin Performance Institute in Toronto many, many years ago.
Well, he's the one who first put dibs on it. He said, well, you know what, you got to show me that these athletes can improve with their strength. And what he had concurred at the time was that with an aligned posture, so like example, lower shoulder, lower hip, that's going to go all the way down to your foot, right? And that's going to affect any athlete in regardless of the sport that they're doing. And what he had concurred is that improving an athlete's posture through the Posture Pro method and the methods that we teach online would, at first, his first reading was an increase in strength from 5.1%, and then his third reading was 15%. So at 5.1%, what he stated was that was an increase, that would be the equivalent of 1 year's training.
Wow.
So a full, and this is on an athletic professional level. So, you know, now we're making links with strength and longevity. We know that if there's a loss of strength, muscle mass, it does increase all-cause mortality, which, you know, kind of links into longevity, which, again, we can talk about later. But, relating strength with posture with strength and just overall injury prevention for any athlete, I think, again, really is the missing link.
And if we circle back to the basketball example, again, for practitioners who are just getting to know, you know, your methods and the Posture Pro methods, is that looking like some type of prehabilitative exercises before lifts or practices, or, you know, specific sessions on their own, or a combination of both? How does that look like?
Yeah, so it looks like starting with the nervous system and looking at how somebody is, how can I say, I guess that this would be best illustrated through a little bit of neurology. And when we talk about tonic posture is not something that we can control consciously. It's actually controlled by the parts of the brain, the same parts of the brain that regulate your heart rate and digestion. But what I find in most rehab, or certainly in the fitness industry, is that everybody's focusing on movement. So movement is great, but movement is an extension of static posture. Mm-hmm. And static posture is the result of how you are interpreting the external world, how you are moving in this world, and the information from the external world that is being brought back inside your nervous system. And that happens to happen with the visual system, the proprioceptive system, which is anything that involves your skin, your muscles, and your joints, and your vestibular system. So it just turns out that I guess that the biggest light bulb moment for me in my practice is understanding how the feet proprioceptive system and the eyes, the visual system, affect the vestibular system. And this is important because you have these receptors in your vestibular system, the autolytic system, which is what detects if you're going up or down or forward or back or speed, right? Yep. So this system is constantly operating. It is constantly sending feedback, constant, to your brain.
That's why we get sick when we're reading in the car, or if we're going on a boat, seasickness, and there's movement and...
Yeah, correct. So that would be a mismatch between your visual and vestibular system. What's really beautiful about the nervous system is that there needs the both systems needs to be saying the same story to the brain. So if you have a visual system that's off and a vestibular system that's off, and you're moving around in that environment, there's a mismatch in information, which leads you to feel, in the example that you've just given, nauseous and dizzy. But in the context of rehabilitation, and certainly as a therapist, my greatest challenge was, well, how can I challenge the nervous system by simply working on the muscular system, especially when someone's lying down. I'm not accounting for the way they fight gravity. I'm not accounting for their weight-bearing surfaces. I'm not accounting for the way that their eyes are tracking. So, and all of these systems are constantly 24/7 sending feedback to the brain. And I'm coming in here and I'm saying, well, let's do some rehab for an hour.
That'll fix everything.
And let's send you back home and then see, let's see what happens and we'll see you next week. So, yeah, so so that entire system for me is something that is something that needs to be, this is, I find that athletes and any coaches or really anyone needs to start incorporating that system or certainly consider incorporating it into life.
And from a sort of time commitment standpoint or duration of the modalities, like, again, is it sort of minutes per day, extended sessions? I mean, I know this is always hard to answer because the context is going to drive a lot of this, but to provide sort of an example of basketball players or even the, you know, the police force there, you know, you mentioned obviously the time frame being very short to correct some of that posture. Can you give us a sense there of you know, time or if you want to call it sets and reps or however you want to frame it?
So if you're dealing with someone who has a healthy nervous system, athletes obviously are fit. They're probably at the best fitness levels of their lives. It's going to go very quick, right? And this is where this becomes a really great tool to assess where someone's at in their longevity level, I guess, is if you optimize the sensory input, the results are at the speed of the nervous system, which is 114 miles per second. That's how quick.
Wow.
So, and this is why with state police, this happened. I mean, we would literally live with like within the 5 minutes, just go through the postural correction, optimize the sensory input, and immediately under 5 minutes, just retest their shooting accuracy, their blood pressure, and their grip strength. And I've been doing this consistently since 2012. So for the last 10 years, clinically, I have a lot of data just with, you know, I'm going to call them regular people, the regular
Gen Pop. Yep.
Right. The Gen Pop, the ankle pain, the knee pain, the back, you know, those popular ailments. And if we can get these results just with the Gen Pop, we could certainly get them with athletes or with anyone that has a nervous system.
The interesting angle, isn't it, with what you're saying around the athletes and how finely tuned their sensory systems are and the ability to provide the correct cues that then lead to these changes and they happen very quickly. And to what you mentioned there, almost providing feedback to maybe some of those athletes whose nervous systems may be, let's say, less sensitive or less tuned, where it might take them longer. I imagine that gives you information as well when it's not happening at the same speed for one individual versus another individual.
Well, the athletes, I mean, they're just going to end up struggling more on the field, right? I mean, you have a lot of athletes that will make it to the Olympic level, but I will say at what cost, right? If there was a way to get you there faster with less suffering.
Yeah, less wear and tear.
Less wear and tear and much more performance. And it was actually one of the last conversations also I had with Charles, because he had noticed that there was an increase in the baseline of all of these athletes. Mm-hmm. In essence, when you would correct their posture, you would shift the baseline, you would increase the baseline, which would mean, according to him, that their performance level is actually more than what we anticipated. So from that standpoint, I find that that's, you know, that's a huge selling point for anyone that's into fitness or anyone that's, you know, wants to make it to the Olympic level or win a medal or whatnot, if we're talking about athletes. But it's also a huge selling point for the Gen Pop, really, because I mean, yeah, there's children, for example, right? I mean, if parents are just even aware of the way that the nervous system develops for a child, then they would be able to prevent so many issues and optimize that nervous system as best as possible in the growing years, which according to me is what would make superhumans.
Yeah, I mean, one could argue that the general population trying to perform at work and kids at home have a higher quote unquote life load and less support than the elite or professional athlete. And so you could make a case they probably need it more.
Hey friends, if you want to keep up to date on all the science related to midlife nutrition, training, and lifestyle,
sign up for our Peak 40 newsletter for monthly updates on tips, tactics, and strategies to implement and level up your routine. Also, a big thank you to all those leaving us reviews for the Peak 40 book. Really appreciate the time, effort, and feedback. All right, let's get back to the conversation.
If we pivot over to the general population, here's an anecdote that, you know, I've done a lot of things for posture. I mean, playing lots of sports growing up, all the tensions and injuries and imbalances from that. And many years ago, I traveled to India to do a yoga teacher training, and you had to sit there for a month on the ground, cross-legged, to eat your food, to meditate. And now this is going to be a little bit different, but I'm curious your response to this. Now, the discomfort was, you know, unbearable, like the hips and the erectors and everything was just so intense, you know. And after a week, 10 days, got a little less after a few weeks. And I'll never forget after that 30 days going back on the train. And of course, these trains in India have wooden benches that are very kind of 90 degrees and not very comfortable at all. And the whole train ride up, you're thinking, gosh, this is uncomfortable. And after that 30 days, it was one of the few things I'd done where you actually sat down and sat there. And it was almost like, you know, you realize that your posture really had changed because you felt completely different on that same seat. Now, I appreciate that your approach is a lot more sophisticated than what I'm outlining here, but I'm just curious, you know, your take on that and how, you know, obviously with what you're doing now, how you amplify that with your approach.
Yeah, so what you're describing, meditation or anything that involves the erector spinae will have an effect on the frontal lobe and the cerebellum. So if you are practicing just standing, focusing, thinking, breathing, not moving, yes, of course, you'll feel tension in your body. But what you're doing in essence is you're amplifying these connections, those connections to the frontal lobe and the cerebellum, depending on the poses that you're taking. And these are the two brain structures that will affect, in this example, the descending motor tracts. So remember, the tension in your muscle is the expression of your brain. The reason that a child is super plastic and you can kind of flip their head, their arms over and their leg and whatever is because the brain is not yet mature. As the brain matures, then you have tension in the muscles and the fascia, and that upright posture starts to settle in. And what you're doing in essence when you're doing these types of meditations or sitting postures is that you're, and this has actually been confirmed through MRI, you're amplifying those connections to the frontal lobe. So anything that has to do with frontal lobe activation, cerebellum, is always going to improve posture. But I will say this, and it's and this is a common denominator that I will always go back to. If your posture is aligned when you go into these methods, you probably stand to get much greater benefits from them. So you'll get the benefits regardless of, but mm-hmm. if you really wanted to get that optimal benefit, I would go into any retreat or treatment with a posture that is better aligned, simply because we know that weight bearing and the visual system, again, affects the vestibular system, which affects all.
If we pivot quickly to the kids there just for a minute of that, you talk about that sort of window of being able to support the nervous system and in children before some of these relationships between brain and tension and muscles and fascia all get more cemented, is probably the wrong term, but, you know, more formalized. Where is that window, and where's the biggest opportunity, obviously, for parents listening in to be able to support their kids and establishing that real foundation for posture?
So with children, it's a little bit different than adults because we're talking about primitive reflexes, which are the basics of all movements. And it just so happens that primitive reflexes are, you know, as a reflex is something that will help the child to be able to control their movement and their posture as they grow up and learn to fight gravity. And each movement is released by the brain in a very specific sequence. And if a parent wanted to ensure that their child is, from a posture standpoint, that their nervous system is developing as optimally as possible, then I would say make sure that there are no retained primitive reflexes. So we're talking about the frontal lobe. When a child grows, what inhibits the reflex. So I'll give you an example. If I take a pen and I stroke, if you stroke the hand of a child, this is the basic example, the child will immediately go into flexion. The reason that they cannot go into extension, which is releasing the hand, is because the frontal lobe is unable to inhibit that response. So as children are growing, and I can't tell you how many adults I test the palmar reflex with, and they still have an active palmar reflex, and they're like 27, that basically means that their nervous system did not develop as optimally as it could have. So looking into primitive reflexes, making sure the reflexes are integrated, and the purpose of all of these reflexes really is to develop the frontal lobe, which in turn has an effect on the limbic system. It's what's going to give you balance between your parasympathetic and your sympathetic system. And it begins with primitive reflexes, which also link in to posture. So when you're looking at a child that already has a diverging eye, they've been walking now for 5 years, they're 6 years old, and you take a pen, you have them look at the tip of the pen, and the child is unable to converge, which is basically bringing both eyes towards the point of focus, and there is one eye that is looking away and the other eye is looking at the pen, you've already identified an issue with the visual system. So chances are that there are retained primitive reflexes. But what I've seen clinically with children, because I do work with a lot of children, is that when you improve proprioception in a child, even at 6 years old, and if there are active reflexes, you are actually able to inhibit them simply through posture correction.
And is there a series of, are there certain activities or sports that lend themselves to supporting the sort of posture and things like that as kids are going through that stage, whether it's dance, gymnastics, track and field, team sports? I mean, is it doing an array of things as well as potentially adding some of the posture support, or is there a way of sort of providing a foundation at least for parents when they're thinking about their kids' activities?
Yeah, so anything that will involve movement or spinning or the cerebellum will be beneficial. But myself clinically or in practice, what I do is really just the assessment. And then I will refer and suggest certain exercises. But the reason these reflexes are not being integrated is because there is a lack of movement to begin with. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into this whole conversation of digital era. But that's a deep dive right there. Right. That's another podcast for another day. But there really is an issue with movement, and children are moving less and less. And that's a big problem.
Yeah.
So.
We can pin it there as well. So I want to circle back. I appreciate the insights there on kids. I want to circle back to the adults, 40s, 50s, 60s, general population. We can think of even performance staff in sports who are working very long hours, sitting on buses, trains, planes, struggling with posture. What are some of the— and I appreciate this is a very holistic model coming from the brain, so this might be quite a rudimentary question, but this is sort of the lens at which the clients are viewing it through. What are the areas of tension and discomfort that are most often coming in? And perhaps you can describe to us kind of the way you're sort of flipping things likely for them to, you know, from a more holistic view of how to solve those.
Well, there's a saying in French, I won't say it in French, but movement is life. Right? What's going to stimulate the brain and what's going to develop the brain is movement. So if you stop moving, then in essence, you're allowing your brain to age at a faster rate. The brain is not being stimulated. We were not meant to sit in front of a computer all day long, every single day. As humans, we are meant to move. And as a matter of fact, just forward movement, moving towards our goals, occurs with primitive reflexes, but later in adults is, you know, dopamine is the foundational hormone of that reality. We are made to move and move forward. And what propulses us towards our goal is dopamine. So if there is a lack of movement for adults as well as with children, it will affect the way that their brain is just functioning. So,
Step one is to get moving more.
Get moving is step one. Sound like a poster, get moving.
No, for sure. And in terms of even, we'll chat longevity here, but just in terms of daily movement, I'm not even sure if this comes into your practice, but obviously we have, you know, steps in a day, things like 8,000, 10,000 towards the top of the bell curve. you know, in my practice, if we get some clients up to even higher than that, we tend to see some real beneficial effects on mood and body composition. Is that anything, you know, do you have a target for individuals when they come in, or is that lower on the totem pole in terms of walking, general movement side?
Well, if you're talking specific, I mean, there's studies that confirm that just, you know, walking 20,000 steps a day is great for just health and longevity and the brain. But bipedalism and walking upright is what makes us human. It's encoded in our DNA the moment that we are born. So anything that you'll do, you know, whether it just be walking, which is a really simple form of exercise, will keep your brain sharp. However, I will say this, and this is, you know, maybe the catch 22 or the paradox, is that if you are walking or moving with a body that's misaligned, then you are working or walking yourself into injury. And that's where the catch 22 comes in. If you don't move, your brain atrophies. And if you move, then you create inflammation in your body that's then going to link to an excess of cortisol and inflammation in the body for an extended period of time. And that is going to affect your brain, your longevity, your ability to digest your protein and whatnot. So
balance sounds like it's key then. And for individuals, how do they start to put their finger on? Now they know they're in discomfort and pain. I mean, that's one of the most common things that I see in my practice, and people are coming in for various health conditions or weight loss and things like that. And we tend to uncover that pain is a significant limiting factor. And I imagine you see this all the time, sometimes worse in sort of ex-athletes where they used to be at a certain level. Now they have a full-time job. It's January early in the year. They really go for it. They injure themselves. Now we can't train. We can't move because there's been an injury. Where are those common roadblocks for you when you see the general population, some of those pain points? And again, how do you start to think about or explain to them how you're going to start to unpack that?
Yeah, so the starting point for me is what prompted me to start selling these courses online is let's start educating trainers and coaches first, because they have the power to access through their network so many people, and they have the power to help shape so many lives. So I think that the real issue is education. Number one, if you're a coach, you should learn this type of method. One, there's a huge gap in the market for it. There is a huge market opportunity just right there. And then people are much more inclined to, this is something that will resonate to anyone that you speak to, because people are kind of realizing pain is management is very costly in time and in money. So teaching this is one thing. And if you're a clinician in practice, I would just recommend starting with a simple assessment. It's going to take you 10 seconds. Take a pen, have someone look at the tip of the pen. And if there is a diverging eye, then there is a postural imbalance. The moment that someone functions with an imbalance in the nervous system, that imbalance in the nervous system is reflected in the muscular system and then further compensates the nervous system. It's a loop. And the loop will never break. It will only get worse with time as we age, as gravity is pounding down on us. And then you can add stress and life and whatnot to that equation. And then, you know, we are no longer aging gracefully. So with very simple tools, anyone can learn to have a massive impact on their health and their longevity. So of course, I find that, you know, something as simple as doing eye exercises as part of your daily routine can create massive changes.
And with that, I know a question I'm going to get from listeners is, does your actual, you know, I'm wearing glasses at the moment, does your actual quality of your vision have an impact on that as well? Like people who have 20/20 versus those who need corrective lenses?
Yes. So I'm not going to sell it that way, but I've had a lot of people, and there are studies out there that say that we can do some eye exercises to help with actual vision. Mm-hmm. I've certainly had a lot of people tell me that they feel that their vision has improved when they've started doing eye exercises. But the purpose of my eye exercises is to use the visual system as a doorway to have an effect on the muscular system. But I'll tell you this, it's not going to hurt.
Amazing.
Just working on convergence has an effect on accommodation, and accommodation is what we need to work on when we're talking about refraction disorders.
And as we move down the longevity road, you know, we touch on things like muscle mass, grip strength, blood sugar control, blood pressure, you know, some of these markers of longevity that, as best we know, you know, are pointing in line to living better for longer. Can you talk a bit about those and how they connect with what you're doing?
Where to begin? So if we talk about longevity, so there are some studies out there that confirm that when you have, if you combine muscle mass, strength, and breathing, if there's a deficiency, if you're losing your muscle mass, losing your strength, and if your VO2 max is affected, it can increase your risk of all-cause mortality by 400%.
Not good.
So let me give you an example. A loss of strength. So we know that as we age, the first thing that we lose is strength. But if we're talking about a young athlete, and we know from Charles Poliquin's work and certainly from the recent work with state police, if someone has an imbalance with their eyes, I'm going to take it back to the eyes, or even their feet, they will have an imbalance in their muscular system. And what that means is that if you actually look at them and take a picture of them face on, you'll probably notice that one shoulder or one hip is lower. Now, if that's the case and you decide to measure, for example, their grip strength with a dynamometer test, you'll probably notice that the side that is lower, the shoulder that is lower, is weaker. So from that perspective, there's already a loss of strength just from the fact that the athlete is posturally unbalanced. Now, if we project this a little bit forward as far as longevity, dopamine, I mean, again, the pursuit, the wanting to move forward, the pursuit of our dreams and our goal is generated by a network in the brain, which is, I don't want to get too technical, but there's basically, so proprioception, I'll just take it back for a second. So when our sensory system is functioning well, the body's taking in information from the outside world and is projecting it to a part of the brain called the reticular ascending system. That's basically a part of the brainstem that's just sucking up all of that sensory information. Mm-hmm. And then what's really interesting here is that the reticular ascending system then projects onto a deep brain nuclei in the brain called the VTA, which is called for the ventral tegmentum area, which then projects to three different nuclei, one of them being the nucleus accumbens, which we see again with primitive reflexes and breastfeeding. You know, we're not going to talk too much about that, but there is a link there, but it's also associated to your dopamine production. So it's actually the VTA and nucleus accumbens are known or said to be the core machinery of the reward pathways in the brain for dopamine production. So where am I going with this? Well, if you have a lack of movement, if you have a lack of dopamine, if your baseline is just going down, you're not going to be motivated, you're not going to be motivated to move, you'll have low dopamine levels, your levels will go down, and that will, you know, further enhance postural imbalances. And then that will create, you know, weaker core strength and muscle strength and whatnot. And the list, you know, you see where I'm going with
it. Yeah.
Like, and it just starts with one simple thing, your posture. So talking about longevity, and it's even going to affect your sleep. It's going to affect your ability to digest your food, your protein intake, your pH balance, your hydrochloric acid, and the list goes on and on and on. So all of this stemming from posture. So I forget what the question was. And
no, that's good. I mean, we're on that longevity front, and it is amazing. Yeah. How you've kind of connected all these intersecting loops around movement and how we fuel and muscle mass, proxy grip strength, and of course posture being one of them that's so interconnected that obviously is often, you know, not talked about enough, or just assume that if we do enough yoga, then we'll fix our quote unquote posture, which obviously needs to be more sophisticated than that. You mentioned, obviously, I want to respect your time here. You've got some great courses. Now, are these courses for practitioners or for general population? Is there different avenues for people to kind of learn more and be able to go down this road in the system that you have?
So the Gen Pop, I would say yes, but mostly geared towards professionals that are already working with clients. For parents, we have Primitive Reflexes and Brain Development, which does delve into the primitive reflexes that we've been talking about. And for the Gen Pop, we do offer online consultations for anyone that has pain that has become really popular in the last 3 years. And so anything that I could do to help anyone really is I try to put myself out there as much as I can, as best as I can. And seeing the results myself clinically, I'm confident that anyone really practicing this type of method can get the same results in their practice.
Well, we'll definitely include all the links in the show notes. To wrap things up here, Annette, you know, what's one piece of advice that you'd give around, you know, your philosophy or your system? I appreciate that's always a tall order when you say one piece of advice, but what's a piece of advice that you might give, you know, athletes, and one piece of advice for the general population? Maybe it's the same, maybe it's different.
Well, one piece of advice, fix your posture first, do some eye exercises, try not to clench your teeth. I mean, we didn't talk too much about the jaw, but the jaw is another huge component that is, rarely looked at unless we're working with dentists. And even then, they have some sort of restriction as far as that sphere. And and the means to increase your longevity and your health.
Tremendous. Well, it's great to know that whether we're looking for performance, whether we're looking to relieve pain and support longevity, you know, we're going to make some progress and some gains by circling back on posture and sort of different way, more progressive way, holistic way of looking at things through your system rather than simply doing more hamstring stretches. So I appreciate the time, and look forward to connecting again.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Peak 40 podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. And also, please share with friends, colleagues, and anyone looking for Peak 40 health and performance.
The Dr. Bubz Performance Podcast endeavors to provide accurate and helpful information to listeners. These podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Dr. Bubz Performance Podcasts.